Chapter 7. And blessedly appearing before either of my boys smacked the other, there it was, the beginning of a rip in space-time in the center of the sphere. If the entire sentinel emerged, it would more than fill the bubble, and the fleet would need to scatter at the best speed the clumsy spaceships could manage. At the start, the rip was just a flash of colors shifting across the spectrum, white to red to yellow to blue to purple, and changing back. My first clue that something was wrong was a low murmur from the crew. They maintained discipline, no one doing anything, as they weren't authorized to take action. They were all looking toward their superiors, who were talking with Mancini in increasingly agitated tones. It was too early for anything significant to be happening, even I knew that. The Sentinel should not be awake yet. Certainly it should not be doing anything. Unless it was acting on its own, not waiting for Skippy to establish control. My boys picked up on the crew's unease, and they both leaned forward. Then they looked at me. "Skippy," I whispered. "What's going on?"
"A little busy here,"
he replied, his voice strained. "Oh, can you tell me?" Oh, shit. Something was emerging from the space-time rip, and there was no mistake that the crew of the ship had not expected whatever it was. Gasps rang around the compartment, and Mancini appealed for calm. "Skippy," he cleared his throat, "should we shut down the mechanisms?" No answer. "Skippy," Mancini repeated, "acknowledge, please." Still no response. The thing was coalescing into whatever it was. Colors shifted up into the purple end of the spectrum and held there. A tentacle crawled from the rip, the tip searching around for... Well, the tentacle changed shape, becoming smoother. Rounded, a uniform purple in color. More of it emerged. I groaned, knowing every eye in the compartment was focused on me. The purple thing's head turned to look in my direction.
"Hello, boys and girls. I love you. You love me. Isn't this superty duper?"
The moronic purple dinosaur gushed. My boys stared at it. Then at me. They burst out laughing, clapping at the show.
"Skippy!"
I barked through gritted teeth.
"General Bishop?"
Mancini looked toward me as if it was my fault. "Admiral," I held up my hands. "I'm sorry about this. It wasn't my idea."
"You said you were bored, Joe," Skippy protested.
"Stop this right now," I ordered. "You never want to have any fun," he huffed.
"You had your fun at my expense. Now do your job, please." "Okay."
At times like this, I remind myself that I'm not getting paid. Holding up my hands, I nodded to Mancini.
"Skippy," the 17th Fleet's commander let out a breath the way you do when you're refraining from choking someone who deserves it. "Restore the display to the original parameters, please."
The Barney disappeared. The space-time rip was still there. Small, energetic, and leaking wild radiation, but by itself. No tentacle. That was fine. It was too early for the Sentinel to have awakened.
"Daddy," Jeremy leaned over to whisper to me, "is that why your pilot call sign is Barney?"
"Please," I thought to myself with a sigh. "Someone, shoot me now." The normal countdown resumed after Skippy's idiotic interruption. Seeing the Barney image was embarrassing for me, but the crew seemed more relaxed, and my boys were more interested, not fidgeting in their seats, so I allowed myself to relax. They were waiting for the next part of the show. They didn't have to wait long. "Contact established," Skippy announced, being uncharacteristically brief. The reports I had read of the two previous operations to activate Sentinels stated that the beer can went mostly silent after the activation transmitters allowed him to create a link to a sleeping elder killing machine. Whatever he was doing, to run tests, wake the things up, run more tests, then take control of the Sentinel, the work occupied most of his consciousness. He didn't have time for screwing around. So we had that going for us. The reports also stated that once a Sentinel was awake, partially extended into our space-time, and Skippy demonstrated he had full control of the thing, the beer can would not stop boasting about his awesomeness. The crew of the activation fleet had complained about how incredibly annoying Skippy could be. What a bunch of whiners. Hey,
That had been every freaking day of my life. For years. I'm glad it was someone else's turn to feed his ego. Phase one testing is complete, Skippy continued, after about 4 minutes of silence. The main display had been showing a sort of progress bar, which had not moved at a steady speed. That section of the display was for the benefit of Meat Sacks to show us that Skippy was doing something. The actual details of the testing were, he had told the crew, much too complicated for monkeys to understand. It didn't matter anyway. There wasn't anything that Mancini's team could do to help fix a busted Sentinel. It's not like the thing could get a flat tire or need us to replace a burned-out light bulb. Progress bar instantly zipped from halfway to fully complete. Renee leaned toward me.
What just happened?
He whispered, disappointed.
Is it over?
No, I kept my voice down. It means Uncle Skippy has decided this Sentinel is in good condition and he is waking it up now.
Daddy, I'm hungry.
Jeremy was kicking his feet back and forth. The attention span of a 7-year-old can be measured in nanoseconds. No eating is allowed in the command center. I pointed to the crew, all intently focused on their workstations.
Okay,
he mumbled, dejected. I knew that look. It meant trouble. You two, listen. Pulling their phones from a pocket, I held them just out of their reach. The sound is off, and I have disabled the Wi-Fi. You can play games quietly. Understood?
Yes, Daddy.
At that point, Jeremy would have agreed to anything. They stopped fidgeting, not even swinging their legs back and forth, and they were quiet. With the Wi-Fi disabled, they weren't able to play against each other in the same game, so they each chose to play whatever game was currently popular with 7-year-olds. Was Minecraft still a thing? All I know is they weren't bothering anyone, including me. That meant I could pay attention to whatever Skippy was doing. Except my own attention span is not great sometimes. The flashing lights on Jeremy's phone screen distracted me, and I couldn't stop looking over his shoulder. Hey, it's important to monitor what types of games your children are playing, especially online. It appeared to be something like a kart racing game. I didn't recognize it. Not a game from the Marioverse, that's for sure. I knew all of those. While I was focused on being amazed at how fast my son was speed racing through the game, I was not watching the ship's main display, or the crew, so I did not see the beginning of the problem. At some point, movement in the compartment caught my eye. Something was going on. At one workstation, two people were standing behind the seated crew member who was assigned there, three heads pressed together, talking in low tones. Admiral Mancini ignored them at first, intent on his instruments, until a fourth person stood up and walked over to the suddenly very crowded workstation.
Colonel Murphy, Mancini cleared his throat. Is there a problem?
The senior officer of the three looked up, her face red. She had been trying to fix the problem before it came to her superior officer's attention. In my experience as a senior leader, that is almost always a bad idea. If there is a problem or a potential problem in my command, I want to know about it ASAP. Based on the expression on Mancini's face, he felt the same way I did.
Admiral, there is...
Murphy glanced back at the workstation.
Minor fluctuation with the transmission output of Unit Bravo.
Except for the command ship Copernicus, the ships of the activation fleet did not have names. They had designations. Those ships did not have crews aboard while they were transmitting, and they were barely capable of moving under their own power. Bravo, I knew because I had studied the mission brief, was not just a transmitter, it was also a relay ship. The three other relay ships like Bravo coordinated the actions of other ships, keeping the powerful cross-dimensional field coherent in spite of the spatial distortions inside the bubble.
We are locking it down now.
Murphy's eyes danced between the workstation and the Admiral. She wanted to get back to work. Mancini understood. He must have pulled up the data feed from Bravo on his own console and determined the issue was indeed minor.
Do that, he ordered with a wave of his hand. Mr. Skippy, you see the issue with the output of Unit Bravo?
Yeah, the beer can snapped. What do you want? I'm busy here.
Is Bravo a problem? Should we halt the process?
Give me a minute so I can do your job as well as mine. It's fine, Admiral. Bravo is just a relay. Can I go back to work now?
Yes, Mr. Skippy. Thank you.
The excitement was over. Until it wasn't.
Hey!
Skippy's voice boomed out of speakers all around the compartment.
What the hell are you monkeys doing? Stop screwing around. This is delicate work I'm doing here.
Murphy held up her hands to Mancini.
Sir, we haven't done anything yet.
Well, somebody did, Skippy huffed. There is now an annoying residence coming from Bravo and two ships connected to it. That hum is distracting me.
Mancini motioned for Murphy to hold whatever she was about to say. Mr. Skippy, he began, knowing it is never a bad time to boost the beer can's ego.
Is the issue with Unit Bravo a problem?
It is annoying me.
Should we shut down the transmission?
What? No, do not do that. Just fix whatever you're doing.
Sir, Murphy couldn't remain silent any longer.
We did not do anything. This unusual resonance appeared on its own.
Will one of you monkeys please fix it? I can't be expected to do everything. If I have to start over at this point, we will lose this sentinel.
I noticed Mancini glancing at me before he spoke. If he hoped I would intervene with the beer can, he was destined for disappointment. My role was as an observer, so I observed with my mouth shut.
Mr. Skippy, he said while making a get-on-with-it gesture to Murphy, we will address the issue. We are very sorry for disturbing you.
Mancini had to be tempted to get up and walk over to assist Murphy's team. If so, he restrained himself. Most of the time when I was in command, I had stopped myself from interfering in resolving technical issues because I wasn't qualified to have an opinion, and I would only get in the way of the people who were experts. Mancini was an expert. He had worked to develop the transmission technology based on Skippy's vague theories about how the process should work. He could have used his own console to work on the problem, but his job was to direct the overall effort and not have all his attention absorbed by a minor issue with one particular ship. He had people for that. He needed to trust his team. The boys had noticed the commotion, briefly looking up for their games. When I settled back into my seat, they went back to staring at their phones. Whatever the resonance was, it didn't stop Skippy from proceeding with the next phase of the operation. 5 minutes later, Murphy had gone back to her own workstation, intently tapping on her console, but Mancini was no longer glancing up at her. The problem, it seemed, was solved. Or contained, whatever. If I had cared, I could have requested Skippy to provide a data feed to my Z-phone. That would have been a jackass move. Distracting him while he worked could be dangerous, and I probably couldn't make sense of the information anyway. It just bothered me not to be doing anything. The Sentinel is awake, Skippy announced, his voice back to normal. Then he sighed.
Will someone please stop that annoying static in the transmission? I can't hear myself think. Programming a sentinel for obedience is an extremely delicate process.
Murphy immediately looked toward Mancini. Admiral, it's not us. There's some kind of external interference that is causing Bravo's anomalous behavior.
External? Mancini was incredulous. An effect that is penetrating the bubble. Is it riding on the antenna cables?
He meant the ultra-thin wires that allowed him to maintain limited communication with the universe outside of the bubble.
No, sir, it's... She waved her hands. It's not coming from anywhere.
Explain.
I would if I could.
Skippy, halt the countdown, he ordered, and that time he did unstrap from his chair and stood up.
Oh, no can do, sorry.
Skippy groaned. Why do you monkeys always have the worst timing?
The thing is awake now. I can't just let it go without reprogramming it, or we will be in big trouble.
My instinct was to stand up also. Instead, I gripped the arms of my chair and reminded myself to observe only.
Daddy,
Renee whispered while Skippy and the crew argued about who was at fault and what to do about the problem.
Is it supposed to happen like this?
With your Uncle Skippy, everything is complicated. I'm sure things will be fine, or Skippy would stop the operation. I lied. The op had passed the go-no-go point. Skippy had to continue, or a very large thing could go boom right on top of our heads.
Listen.
Skippy was thoroughly disgusted.
I'm going to keep doing all of the many incredibly awesome things that only I can do, so could you monkeys please do your one job, or is that too much to ask?
Mancini gritted his teeth. Before replying, he gave me a questioning look. All I could do was shrug. That's who Skippy is, my shrug said. Deal with it. The 17th Fleet's admiral nodded.
Is it safe to continue?
It is safe. It is just annoying, Skippy snapped.
Now, go talk amongst yourselves, let me do my job, and try not to screw up any more than you have already.
Mancini saw Murphy silently pleading with him.
One question, Mr. Skippy. Can you identify the source of the interference?
Do I have to do everything around here? There is no external interference. I would have noticed something like that. This is just your crappy equipment failing to... Huh?
The hair on the back of my neck stood up. I recognized that perplexed.
Huh?
I knew what it meant. Mancini did not. Mr. Skippy. What? What did you see? Skippy. No answer. Do not interfere, I told myself. This is not my operation. I don't know what is going on. Skippy, Mancini tried again. Murphy, reduce Bravo's power output.
Reduce power output from Unit Bravo.
Aye, sir. She pointed at one of her team.
That?
Her face drained of color, making her already pale skin a ghostly white.
Sir, we do not have control of Bravo.
Do not? Mancini hurried in the direction of his own workstation. Skippy, what are you
It's not me,
the elder AI responded in a strangled voice.
Something is hacking into the Sentinel. It's riding the transmission channel. I can't stop it. I'm losing control of the Sentinel.
That was enough for me. Boys, I said to my sons, you stay here. Slapping the release button, I freed my straps and stood up. Mancini dropped the stealth field. He blinked at me only once. He knew I wasn't making a suggestion. I had issued a direct order. He wasn't angry. In fact, I read his expression as a relieved, this is your kind of shit, you handle it. He made a gesture at a crew member. Stealth field is down. Skippy. Skippy, it's Joe. What can we do to stop this?
Joe, why did you wait so freaking long?
His voice was distorted, worse than before.
Turn off those damned transmitters.
General.
Murphy waved for my attention.
We can't.
She pointed at her console.
We have lost contact with Bravo. It has become a node, sir. It has taken independent control of the entire network of transmitters. It won't allow us to shut them down.
Bravo is the problem?
It...
She looked to Mancini for help. It is, he confirmed.
Joe,
Skippy pleaded.
Stop it. Now, I'm losing control. The Sentinel is slipping away from me.
Pulling out my Z-phone, I tapped an icon to connect to Copernicus's communication system. This is General Bishop. I am assuming control of all UN Navy units in the area. Bilby, acknowledge.
Huh. Whoa. You got it, your dudeness. Like, what is going on? This is heinous.
Bishop. Admiral Sousa was not happy. What do you mean by... Sousa, stand by. I'll explain later. I need your ships to hit the transmission unit designated Bravo with every directed energy weapon you have now. To the guy's credit, he didn't argue.
I only have 3 ships in range, all light cruisers.
That wasn't good, but the 3rd fleet hadn't expected to shoot at the activation fleet. The ships of that powerful fleet were deployed to protect it from external threats. Physical external threats, like starships, not whatever the hell had gone wrong with the activation. Not a threat that could hack into a freaking Sentinel and take control away from Skippy. Do it now.
Understood.
A second later, the deck of Copernicus rocked.
We're not hit, Mancini reported. Bravo is creating chaotic spatial distortions, doing it deliberately. Bravo is taking fire from those cruisers, but the distortion is warping the Mesa beams. Most of the beams are missing the target.
Sir, even if the beams hit, they won't penetrate that armor plating. I'd expected that, having seen the thick armor of Copernicus during the tour. Speed of light weapons were the fastest turret we could put on Bravo, but not the strongest.
Colonel Reed, this is Bishop.
Valkyrie is standing by, sir.
That was Reed. No questions, no hesitation, all business. Admiral Sousa had implied there were only 3 warships in range to strike the Bravo ship, but that wasn't true. Valkyrie wasn't under his command, and that battlecruiser was close. I had flown directly from the battlecruiser to Copernicus. I need you to hit Bravo with specials. She would understand that I meant the nuclear fusion warheads that Valkyrie carried.
Specials?
In the background, I heard her snap her fingers. She was telling her gunnery crew to get nuclear warheads loaded into missiles immediately. Yes, nuclear release is authorized. Bishop Echo Delta 4019er X-ray, acknowledge.
Nuclear release is...
She waited a beat for my code to be authenticated.
Authorized, aye.
Though her mind had to be screaming, what the fuck is happening at her, she was calm and cool. In command.
Valkyrie was lucky to have such a captain. I need you to hit Bravo with every special you have in your magazines. Spatial distortion will make targeting tricky. Use some missiles to confuse the subject, meaning deliberately detonate any missiles that missed to blind the sensors of the enemy, whoever the hell the enemy was. I finished with, Fireball, nuke that ship. Now, now, now. Despite me ordering action now, 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 I knew the launch of nuclear weapons couldn't happen immediately. Those warheads were not normally kept loaded into missiles on the ready racks. Reed's gunnery team would need to get the special warheads unlocked, extracted from the magazine deep within the ship, transported outward to where the appropriate missiles were waiting, then loaded into those missiles, and finally subjected to testing before the missile was allowed to be picked up by a robotic claw and stuffed into a launch tube. Really, all the action was handled by robots, and what the gunnery crew actually did was to authorize Bilby to manage the work. The point is, nukes would not be crashing into Unit Bravo in an instant. That knowledge did not prevent me from growing impatient as directed energy bolts were fired at the traitorous transmitter ship and the deck of Copernicus continued to rock from wild spatial distortions. Mancini was looking toward me expectantly. They're on the way, I told him, not knowing whether that was true or not.
No missiles in flight, Murphy reported helpfully.
I mean, they will be on the way. Reed, let's get this party started, huh? Can you hit Bravo with railguns?
Sir, hold one, please.
Reed's voice came back a moment later.
Sir, Bilby advised the spatial distortions could cause railgun darts to deflect and strike your ship.
Belay that order? Let's not do that. Lowering my voice, I turned my back to Mancini.
Reed, what is the holdup? When can you launch?
Sir, we have a...
There was enormous frustration in her tone.
A complication. I'm handling it.
Handle it faster, please.
I'm doing the best...
Got it. On the way!
Missiles inbound, Murphy reported. Radiation alert. Nuclear weapons in flight.
The deck rocked again. Then again. Hard. Hard enough to send me skidding across the deck and feeling foolish for having released my straps. Standing up wasn't necessary for me to verbally issue commands. I had done it to show the crew of Copernicus that I was in command. It may be stupid, but it's a human thing. We like to see our leaders doing something. Another spatial distortion sent me sliding back toward my chair. Forgetting about dignity, I crawled on hands and knees the last 2 meters, throwing myself into the chair. The boys clicked the straps for me. I am a lucky man. Skippy, talk to me.
It's no good. It's not good. I can't, he sobbed. Stop it. I can't stop it.
Hang on, buddy. Can you do anything to smooth out the spatial distortions around Unit Bravo?
What good would that do?
It will allow Valkyrie to nuke that damn thing into vapor.
Oh, well, that is a worthy cause. I don't know what I can do right now.
We need Skippy magic.
This is not a good time for that.
My sons, I emphasized, have never witnessed Skippy the Magnificent. But if you can't do it, that's okay. It's nothing to be ashamed of. I'll just tell them that—
Oh, screw this, he snarled. One solid gold example of magnificence coming right up. I suggest you monkeys hang on. This could be a rough ride.
Hey, maybe we should...
Too late. The deck rocked. A safety field built into the chair kept me from snapping my stupid monkey neck, enveloping me and preventing me from moving. Preventing my skin and bones from moving. My squishy insides bounced around. Instinctively, I reached out to push my sons back in their chairs, but the safety field gently tugged my arms back into place. Just as the field was protecting my sons. It happened again and again and again. Please stop. Please just stop. It stopped. Eventually.
Hey, your dudeness?
Bilby's voice drawled in my ear. Like, that thing is dead, you know? There are still 5 specials in flight. Do you want me to recall them? All they would do is make the dust even more radioactive. Bilby, I... Before I responded to him, I checked on Jeremy and Renee. They were rigid in their chairs, terror reflecting on their little faces. Boys, it's going to be okay now. Bilby put the remaining missiles into a hold pattern and engaged their stealth.
Rightio, dude.
Are you okay? I asked Renee. He bit his lip and nodded once, tears streaming down his face. Jeremy did the same. Physically, they were fine. I knew that, although I didn't feel it.
Why had I brought my sons into a potentially hazardous situation? I could kick myself later, after I got my sons to safety. Skippy, I automatically looked toward the overhead, holding up an index finger toward Mancini. At the moment, I didn't have any information for him anyway. Status, please. What is going on?
Ugh, he sounded hungover.
I don't know.
That wasn't good.
What is your status?
Joe, how much tequila has been produced since the beginning of time?
What? Oh, shit. Was he cognitively impaired and about to rant at me over some trivial thing?
Why does that... It feels like I just drank all of it.
Yeah, I said with a guilty glance at my wide-eyed boys. Been there. Tell me, are you okay?
Give me a minute.
Holy shit, Joe. You nuked that Bravo ship. There is nothing left.
Yeah, that was the plan. Status of the Sentinel? Do you have control?
No one has control. It is severely damaged. I suggest we get out of here, like now. Dogzilla is failing and we'll lose containment soon.
Shit, Mancini. Can Copernicus?
General. The 17th Fleet's admiral shook his head. This ship is a pig under the best conditions. The engines are in cold shutdown for the activation. We are not going anywhere.
Damn it. I knew the engines were shut down. I had forgotten.
Dropships, then. We will launch them and...
Bad idea, Joe. Skippy's hologram appeared. It flickered and wasn't solid. I could see through it.
There is a hellish amount of radiation outside the ship, and it's trapped there by the spatial distortions. Anyone aboard a dropship would get fried.
I'm sorry, he moaned.
There is no way to get you meat sacks far enough away before...
I cut him off, making a knife hand gesture whether he could see it or not.
Fireball, get Valkyrie moving. I need your ship to rendezvous with Copernicus and extend shields around us so we can make a short flight over to you in dropships.
That is going to be a tricky maneuver, sir.
In her voice, I heard a skilled and experienced pilot wondering how she could do the impossible. Again.
That is why I'm asking you to do it.
Shit.
Her cool slipped for a moment.
How much time do we have?
None. The Sentinel is about to lose containment.
Of course it is, she sighed. We will be there soonest.
She didn't give me an exact time, since she was probably just beginning to consider how to do yet another thing her battlecruiser wasn't designed to do.
That's all I can ask for. Bishop out.
What next?
Skippy, is there anything you can do to delay the Sentinel losing containment?
No, I am sorry. It's just a matter of time, and we are out of time.
It's impossible, Joe. There is nothing I can do.
Time is the issue.
I rubbed my chin slowly, recalling a fuzzy memory. You once told me something about how time flows differently between layers of space-time.
I did, and that is fact, he sniffed.
The good news was he sounded better, more like his usual self.
Great. Can you do some sketchy thing to manipulate time here so we experience the effect of the Sentinel exploding later than we normally would?
No, I can't do that, numbskull, he scoffed.
What a stupid, huh?
Right?
Joe, if you balled up all the hate in the universe since the beginning of time, it would be less than how much I hate you right now.
I feel terrible about that. Can you do it?
Is my name Skippy the Magnificent?
It won't be if you can't do this one simple thing.
Simple? He screeched.
Yeah, that was the old Skippy.
At that point, all we could do was get the crew aboard dropships and wait for Valkyrie to arrive. Also, to pray. There was a lot of that going around. I would be staying in the command center until the last moment in case there was anything I needed to do, in case there was anything I could do.
Boys, I dropped onto one knee so I was at eye level with them.
I am sorry about that. I know it was scary.
Daddy, it was awesome,
Jeremy assured me with the innocent sincerity of a 7-year-old, though his face was streaked with dried tears. Renee's eyes were bulging.
Is that the kind of thing you used to do back when you were cool?
He meant it as a compliment, I reminded myself. Not all the time, but yeah, too many times.
Mommy told us Daddy was cool.
Renee shot an accusing look at Jeremy. Boys, I waved my hands. We need to get out of here. It's dangerous. Standing up, I raised my voice.
Admiral Mancini, can you detail someone to get my boys aboard a dropship?
Certainly. He gestured to Lieutenant Nakama.
She actually looked relieved to have something to do other than running to a dropship. Listen, boys, I need you to go with the lieutenant, okay? Be polite and quiet. Can you do that for me? Renee nodded gravely, frowning like he was trying to remember something important.
Mommy told us that when bad shit goes down, we do whatever Daddy says.
I blinked. That is, Jeremy added.
Mommy also said if Daddy is involved, bad shit will go down.
Okay, I was aware that the entire crew was staring at me. That is true, and your mommy should not have used bad words.
Why? Jeremy blinked. You say that word all the time.
It's an adult thing, okay?
Is saying shit worse than the F-bomb? Renee asked. Mommy says that also. Let's not use any more bad words at all today, okay?
Renee reached out to pat my hand.
Mommy also says it's not your fault because the universe has a hard-on for screwing with you.
My eyes grew wide. Your mother said that to you?
No.
Renee shrugged.
We heard her talking about you to one of her friends.
When we get home, I'm going to have a long talk with your mother. Go with Lieutenant Nakama, please, and do not say any bad words. The boys unstrapped themselves, scooted out of the chairs that were too big for them, and slid onto the deck. They looked up at me, raised their hands, and saluted me. I snapped to attention, returning the salutes. I am the luckiest man in the galaxy. The boys left the compartment, and the crew began filing out behind them.
Wow, Joe, Skippy exclaimed. Should I withdraw your application for Father of the Year?
Very funny, you ass. How much time do we have?
I don't know, Knucklehead. That's the problem when I mess with the interaction of time flow between layers of space-time.
Take a guess, please.
Less than we want, hopefully more than we need?
That is super helpful, thank you.
The good news is, if I'm wrong, you won't be able to complain about it.
I feel so much better.
While we wait for Valkyrie to get here, can you tell me what the fuck just happened?
He sighed, taking off his ginormous admiral's hat and scratching his shiny dome.
I'm hoping you have a guess about that, because I have no idea.